The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good day. Welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you live from the studios of WWDB AM 860 here in beautiful Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. We want to welcome you to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. And once again, a reminder that if you have a question, if you have a suggestion for the show, email us at boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. That's boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. And as usual, we are under the talented and watchful command of our producer, Tony. So he knows all the buttons to push, and we're ready to go with a very, very interesting first segment here on Boomer Generation Radio, really a follow-up to some material we began talking about, about a month and a half ago. So we are very, very pleased to welcome to the studios this morning Sue Levi Elwell, a rabbi, a spiritual director, a coach, and consultant, and Nurit Shine, who is the CEO of the Mazzoni Center here in Philadelphia. And I want to really pick up the conversation that deals with baby boomers in the GLBT community, the resources that are continuing to evolve, the conception or the idea of separate GLBT housing for aging baby boomers, why, and just we'll open it up to a lot of different topics associated with that, since it's very, very relevant right now with all the changes in the law. So Sue, Nurit, welcome to Boomer Generation Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yes. I'm
very happy to see you. And let's start with a question that really emerged a couple of weeks ago in our in a previous conversation. What's the difference now in, you know, baby boomers aging, people who are in the GLBT community? Is it that different than somebody who's not in the GLBT community so far as their own aging process?
Well, from various points, it is the same, and from other points, it's different. Remember, the baby boomer generation is the generation that we lost a lot of people to HIV and AIDS. Mm-hmm. And so when we are aging, and I am part of that baby boomer generation, when we are aging, I think we are dealing with trauma and loss, and things that we can't really translate to the younger generation, translates into many of us are aging by themselves, mm-hmm. Without families. Many of us have been ostracized and shunned by our families, and we have families of choice as opposed to biological families, and either parents, siblings, children, and so on. And that generation also was less into having children than the younger generation now. So I think the issue of mental health and loneliness and wanting to be with your family of choice is much more pronounced than with any other generation. That could be one of the reasons that we're really looking to have our own housing complex, our own aging communities, and also the issues of mental health and physical health.
The Mazzoni Center that you're the CEO of, if that's a good sentence, which probably isn't, what do you deal? You deal with mental health aspects, resource.
Well, Mazzoni Center is a full service organization that has both a medical practice, a behavioral health, drug and alcohol, housing,
in Philly,
legal
right?
services. Yes, we're here in Philadelphia.
We're in Philadelphia.
Our medical practice is at 809 Locust Street, and the main services are at 21 South 12th Street.
Okay.
Yeah. And we try to really give holistic and wraparound services to individuals. So there is a lot of synergy between physical health, mental health, some legal issues that people are facing. So, and as people age, there is more to be concerned from the legal point of view.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And especially now that Pennsylvania has come to the 21st century and recognizes gay marriage, people really need to be aware of what they need to be doing from the legal point of view.
Yeah, so let's examine that for a little bit, because I think this is one of the things that people are not necessarily aware of, that with the changes in the laws across the country, and where I live in New Jersey, now Pennsylvania, and this surge that's coming, really, it's not a, it's a wave. It's a major wave around the
country.
It's
a tsunami.
Yeah. And so that this argument is over. I think on a pop culture level, and I think it's, by the way, I think it's a lot of it's been driven by the baby boomers. What, from your the two of your perspectives, what has been the real impact now of the marriage equality movement on the aging in the GLBT community? You mentioned the wills and estates.
Okay.
Walk us through that.
So first and foremost, I want to say I'm not a lawyer, but right. We do have a legal department.
Nor do you play one on TV.
Right. No, do I play one on TV. So hopefully I am, I will be cautious by giving information only that I know about.
Right.
And you can contact us to get more information about the issue. So we need to understand that with legalizing gay marriage, there is a lot of benefits that we're getting, but there's also more responsibilities that we're gaining as married and as households. So, for example, if somebody was on disability and was getting disability checks because they were not earning any money, yet their spouses has a full-time job that earns a lot of money, now if they get married, they are regarded as a household. Some people may lose their benefits. So we need to be really careful before, you know, the euphoria, oh, we want to get married.
Mm-hmm.
For people who earn in the top earning ranges, the income tax is going to go up. But that will happen if they get married because it's federal income tax.
Right.
So we're federally recognized now. Issues, the good part is, like inheritance. We will not now have to pay on inheritance tax in Pennsylvania if one spouse dies and the house is jointly owned. So things like that. There are 572 laws just in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that apply to marriage. Actually, Mazzoni has worked in the last 2 years to really look at these laws with the understanding that this is going to come, and we were kind of on top of the wave. So we are pulling it out now and having lawyers know and understand that these are the laws that need to be taken into account when you're talking about marriage and divorce.
Right.
Actually, the most phone calls that we've been getting since the couple of weeks ago have been about divorce.
Really?
Yes.
In what way? I mean, it's sort of like counterintuitive.
It almost is. But people, when other states got married, mm-hmm. went over there and got married, and you know that various states, you need to be an inhabitant of that state to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So they fell out of love. They live in Pennsylvania. They got married in Vermont, California, or somewhere else. They can't get divorced. So let's say they've already split up their households, went their two ways, and now they want to get married to or be together in a partnership with other people, but they have to get divorced.
So and so the Mazzoni Center, you are a clearinghouse for some of these, all these questions and answers, and have resources there?
Yes, we, from the legal point of view, we definitely can point you in the right direction, give you resources. We usually serve low income or no income LGBT individuals in matters that relate to harassment, employment, landlord issues, evictions, that kind of stuff.
Phone number and website, Nurit.
www.mazzonicenter.org. Our main number is 215-563-0652.
So we're talking with Nurit Shine, the CEO of the Mazzoni Center, and Sue Levi Elwell, rabbi, spiritual director, coach, and consultant here on Boomer Generation Radio. Again, airing live on WWDB AM 860 here in Greater Philadelphia. Nurit mentioned this sort of like these twin challenges of aloneness and some of the mental health components. Sue, could you just, the spiritual, because you deal with this all the time, and your new book, Chapters of the Hearts, which has just been published, which is a collection of reflections of individuals on their journey. Could you just comment on the spiritual component that you've observed with, and especially this idea of loneliness? I'm fascinated by this, what Nurita's talking about. And we've run across this in other situations too, this sense of aloneness or being cut off, and what that does as we age, what that does spiritually to us.
So it's clearly an enormous life challenge when what may have identified us is stripped away. We no longer have the job and the career that may have really felt like our primary identity. And our family situation changes as we age, no matter what our family situation is. And one of the enormous challenges for all of us as we age is kind of reconstructing in our own minds our identity. How are we seen by the world? So the additional challenge for LGBT folks is the invisibility that many of us have experienced perhaps throughout our lives. And that's one of the particularly interesting things of the boomer generation LGBT folks, because we grew up, went to college, and began our professional lives and walked through much of our professional lives, perhaps with some invisibility about our sexuality, about our gender identity. And thank heavens that's all changing now. And as we mentioned, the change in the laws even of our beloved Commonwealth, but that doesn't mean that it's changed inside us, so that we have this multiple spiritual burdens, as Nurit began with, the enormous losses because of AIDS to many people in our generation, and then the additional living in hiding or living without being fully seen. And a healthy spiritual aging is about being fully present in the world, both to oneself and to others. And so this is why there is an additional challenge, even in terms of choosing where to live if you're an LGBT person. One could go and visit a number of retirement communities, as I did actually recently in the last year with my mom, looking for a place for her. She had a very, very long and happy marriage with my dad, and I have seen through her eyes what it means to now construct a new identity when you arrive in a place. And it would be so much the more so if someone is particularly a single gay individual seeking out a place to live and seeking friends and having always there's a level of translation that would be necessary if one was not in a place that was labeled as and known as an LGBT-friendly, positive environment.
Part of what I would imagine a mature spirituality, which is a phrase I stole from some author in some book that I read a couple of years ago, is a certain sense, I would imagine, of an acceptance of who you are, an acceptance of oneself. Are you seeing this in the LGBT community as they age? As this community ages, a greater acceptance of who I am and my life struggle that I've been through, especially as I look at the generation now coming up in college in the 20s, there seems to be, at least in certain parts of the country, such a greater acceptance. This is who I am. Deal with it. As the generational difference, this acceptance of oneself, or is there still a struggle? Is there still a struggle going on?
I think for many people, it's still a struggle because, as Sue said, living in hiding or partial hiding takes a toll internally. The internalized homophobia that we carry, that many of the LGBT individuals carry, is a huge burden. And part of it also for looking for aging community that is an LGBT community is also reason because we don't want to be the token in other people's environment.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to be the ones who have to teach people to be LGBT friendly. And we can see it very clearly with the T in the LGBT, the trans community, which is coming to its own,
right,
the way the LGB community came to its own 15, 20 years ago. They're saying to us, hey, we are sick and tired of having to teach you about what transgenderism is all about. You also need to do some of the homework. And so I think that is part of why in Philadelphia we now are very fortunate to have the John Anderson Apartments on 13th Street, which is specifically an LGBT-friendly living elder community.
I want to get back to that right after this message, and I want to thank you again, Sue Levi-Elwell, the rabbi, spiritual director, coach, and consultant, and Nerit Shine, the CEO of the Mazzoni Center. We'll be back. I want to pick up on this housing thing as well, right after I mentioned one of the friends of Boomer Generation Radio in the sense of bringing clarity to one's own financial planning. And I'm speaking specifically of the Hecht Investment Group of Janny Montgomery Scott. The Hecht Investment Group, that's H-E-C-H-T, the Hecht Investment Group of Janny provides concierge financial consulting and planning services. Using a formal investment process as their foundation, clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. And there are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning, as many of us are dealing with right now. The Hecht Investment Group provides experienced guidance and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. We urge you to contact the Hecht Investment Group, that's H-E-C-H-T, and the Hecht Investment Group of Janny Montgomery Scott. Toll-free number is 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. Mention that you heard about them on Boomer Generation Radio. You can also visit the Hecht Investment Group at hechtinvestmentgroup.com. And the Hecht Investment Group is also on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And we're very, very happy to remind you that Peter Hecht was recognized by Philadelphia Magazine and New Jersey Magazine as a five-star wealth manager for 2013 and 2014. And Janny Montgomery Scott is a member of the New York Stock Exchange, FINRA, and the SIPC. We're back with Nerit Shine, the CEO of the Mazzoni Center here in Philadelphia. Sue Levi-Elwell, rabbi, spiritual director, coach, and consultant. And before the break, Nerit, you were mentioning about the Johnson.
John Anderson. John Anderson actually was one of city council in the city of Philadelphia, and he was an African-American gay man. And our mayor, Michael Nutter, says that he was his mentor. And
oh, right.
Thanks to him, the mayor is now the mayor and went into political life. And we named this housing complex after John Anderson.
So this is a housing complex here in Philadelphia. Where is it in Philly?
It's on 13th Street between Spruce and Locust.
And this is specifically geared for the GLBT community, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And so this is, I imagine, a community that says we don't have to walk into Shady Acres, a retirement community, and explain ourselves.
Right.
This is, we're at a stage in our lives, we understand who we are, we accept it, we are comfortable, we don't want to have to live that life anymore. We're amongst people who understand who we are. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Is this is this being replicated in other cities around the country?
There are number of very few. It's just beginning mm-hmm. now. I think there's one in Los Angeles, and I believe there's one in Florida.
Oh.
Yes. The other flip side of this that for the last 20 or so, 30 years, the LGBT movement fought for acceptance and visibility and, if you want, kind of mainstreaming ourselves into
right.
society. So now we're saying, okay, now you recognize us. Now we're mainstream. Now we want to keep some of our identity as LGBT. We don't want to just disappear into mainstream. And that's part, I think, of the separateness and the will, the wanting to have our own space and our own culture and our own visibility as an LGBT community.
It's almost like you're dealing with an immigrant
community. It's exactly.
And they're being assimilated. We got what we want. We're part of mainstream. Wait a minute. If we just become like everybody else, we lose the core of what we want.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And I believe that the next 10 years are going to be fashioning our immigrant, so to speak, identity within the culture of America.
So this generation that's coming up, our kids' generation,
yes.
kids in their 20s and 30s, who, for whom this seems to be like no big deal. I mean,
it's a non-issue.
It's a non-issue. They're really going to be like that second generation of immigrant. They're just going to say, this is who we are. I mean, just deal with it. And this is, you know, right? Or am I totally like in fantasy land?
Yes and no. First of all, there's still a lot of homophobia out there.
Right.
There's still a lot of laws that prohibit us from doing one thing or another. Even in Pennsylvania, we still don't have anti-discrimination laws that mention gender identity or sexual orientation. So, yes, Philadelphia has it, but in somewhere in middle Pennsylvania, we get calls of people being let go from a job
because of their
transitioning and etc.
The Mazzonis handle those calls?
Yes. Yes.
Give us the number and the website again real fast.
www.mazzonicenter.org.
Spell Mazzoni, too.
M-A-Z-Z-O-N-I.
You may be spelling challenged like me.
Mazzonicenter.org. And our main number is 215-563-0652.
I want to ask, because we're going to start to run out of time, believe it or not, very, very quickly. I have to ask you, because you mentioned the T in the GLBT.
Yes.
So, and I really would like both of your opinions on this. There's a very popular show on Netflix, Orange is the New Black.
So yep. It
happens to be a great show. And
The Leah Delaria, who is one of the main characters in the show, was just on our gala event, and she was the guest entertainer.
Was that the lady who plays Sophia, the transgender?
No. That's somebody else.
So the question I want to ask you is, this woman was profiled in Sunday's New York Times.
Correct. And she's going to be on Time Magazine front page.
Really?
Yes.
So this is like bringing the transgender issue smack dab in front. And this is a very popular show.
Yes. It's Laverne Cox.
In front.
Her name is Laverne Cox.
Laverne Cox? Mm-hmm. Smack dab in the front of the American public. What's your take on this? Is this like, oh, my God, it's too much too soon, or?
It's about time.
It's time.
Yeah?
It's time.
Why, Sue, why is it time?
Because people, from my point of view, as somebody who's involved in religious and spiritual life, we can't live in a closed, invisible place. Every human being, I deeply believe, is created in God's image, and each one of us should be able to fully shine. And here's this spectacular woman, a person of great courage,
yes.
who also happens to be an excellent actress. But she is standing up for who she is, and she has the opportunity actually to play a trans figure as well. But what this is waking us up to is that there are all kinds of folks around us all the time and in our own families. And to be able to look at a child, a little girl who's dressing as a boy, or a little boy who wants to wear dresses, and to say, that's okay. This is how he or she is expressing him or herself at this time in their lives. And it may be a lifetime thing, and it may be just a temporary thing. And for us not to go into a gender panic, but rather say, the world is filled with amazing creations. Let's celebrate it.
So you think that the success of Orange is the New Black and this character is going to be the first wave in really peeling back the layers of discrimination in the transgender community, or do you think this is just a a media thing to get ratings and build it on a, I mean, hate to sound cynical, but.
Well,
hey, I'm from
we
Philly.
Saw that 10 years ago when Ellen DeGeneres came out on the kiss in the airport and so on and so forth. So we now have more LGB people as main characters in TV shows.
Right.
And I think this is the next step.
I mean, the Modern Family. Couple.
And Modern Family and all of that. So. But we need to understand that transgender individuals are much more at risk in the real world than the LG people.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of them, you know, it's very evident that they're transgender, some of them not. And they suffer a lot from, you know, discrimination, harassment, and so on and so forth.
We have about 2 or 3 minutes left in this segment, and I want to come back to something that you alluded to 20 minutes ago. Just talk to me from both of your perspectives about the significant impact of mental health issues on the aging GLBT community.
Well, I will say that the social isolation is the biggest thing that aging LGBT people suffer from. And we have some resources here in Philadelphia. I don't think they're enough. I think we need to do more. And I think we need to do it in the reverse, not wait for them to come to us. We need to reach out to them. And that is difficult because we don't always know where they are. But I think we need, like the churches and the synagogues do it, we need to reach out to people more and not just wait for them to come to us.
And go ahead, Sue.
When a church or a synagogue puts a rainbow flag up on the street in front of their building, it makes a very strong statement, both to the people who walk into that church or synagogue or the people who walk by or drive by. And we need to do more of this to say we are LGBT friendly. And as Narit said, we have a great deal of education to do for all of us.
But we have a lot of religious communities who will go back to certain texts and say, well, you know what they say. This, you can't do this. It's against God's law. And this is changing or it's not changing? What's your take? I mean, you're a clergy person. You deal with this on the front lines.
And I'm also somebody who is a person of hope. So I believe that because that the greater the visibility, the more people will indeed open their hearts. As people who have a deep religious conviction that this is wrong, begin to see folks in their own community, their own children, their own loved ones, live a full, rich expression of who they are, I do believe that their hearts will change.
Okay, well, we have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
The biggest change that we have seen over the last decade is within the African-American community and churches, where 10 years ago they wouldn't even talk to an organization like Mazzoni Center. Mm-hmm. Now they're collaborating with us on events. So as Sue said, hope is a good thing, but we are really need to also have boots on the ground and do a lot of work. And it is changing. It is changing.
Oh, no. And real fast, phone number and website.
www.mazzonicenter.org, 215-563-0652.
We've been speaking with Narit Shine, the CEO of the Mazzoni Center here in Philadelphia, and Sue Levi-Elwell, a rabbi, spiritual director, coach, and consultant on, again, some of the just multifaceted issues of baby boomers and aging within the GLBT community. And this is a conversation we'll hope to come back to on a regular basis here on Boomer Generation Radio. It's certainly fascinating and so many subtleties and layers of the conversation. So Narit and Sue, thank you very, very much. Have a good trip to Israel because I know you're on your way. So
thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
Thanks so much.
Before we move into the Kendall segment, I just want to remind our listening audience that if you feel worried about your parents' failing memory or concerned about your parents' safety at home, not sure where to turn for help, if you answered yes to these questions, then may I suggest that SeniorWise is here for you. SeniorWise Geriatric Care Managers can provide a comprehensive assessment and care plan, help keep your loved ones safe at home, screen and monitor in-home services, and help you avoid costly mistakes, as well as ease your loved ones' transitions to a care facility if that becomes necessary. SeniorWise is a member of the Samaritan Family of Services, and to speak with a SeniorWise geriatric care manager today, we invite you to call 856-552-5166. That's 856-552-5166. Or log on to www.seniorwisecare.org. That's one word, seniorwisecare.org. www.seniorwisecare.org. And the phone number, 856-552-5166. Welcome back to the second segment of Boomer Generation Radio. This segment of Boomer Generation Radio is brought to you by Kindle, a system of not-for-profit communities and services located in 8 states in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and near Midwest regions of the United States. Kindle advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential and is committed to working with others to together transform the experience of aging. To learn more about Kendall, that's K-E-N-D-A-L. We invite you to visit Kendall.org or call them toll-free at 888-759-0128. That's 888-759-0128. We are very pleased to welcome to our Boomer Generation microphones for our Kendall segment, Alice Moore, a nurse educator and lead trainer at Kendall Outreach, and Neil Berrison, the National Program Manager for Vitalize 360. So, Alice, Neil, welcome. Welcome to Boomer Generation Radio. Glad to have you here in the studio.
Thank you, Richard.
Be here. Thank you.
So this seems like a very, very exciting project, this 360 program. It seems to be involved with health and wellness and empowering people and, from what I'm reading, empowering entire communities. So why don't we just start at the beginning? What is Vitalize 360? It almost sounds like a supplement pill, but it isn't. I know, but what is it, Neil?
The elevator speech, Richard.
Okay, the elevator
speech.
The fast one.
It's a coaching and assessment system for older adults, but also the organizations that they live in. So it's really organizations that come to us and say, we want to help our individuals, our residents grow, prosper, be healthy in their older age. And so we want a program that can support us and them in doing this.
So Kendall Corporation calls you and say, we want to do this. Can you come and work with us to create a program? Am I understanding that correct or not?
A community out there somewhere Kendall.
Oh.
Kendall Outreach.
Uh-huh.
Vitalize 360. And says, I've heard about your program. Someone in our backyard is using it, another organization. We'd like to talk about what would it mean for us to go down this road.
Okay. So what does it mean, Alice?
So when we approach a community, we're really asking to find out, you know, where they are in terms of their culture. Are they looking at wellness? Are they looking at really successful aging? And what is that for their community? And it's a fabulous opportunity to work with the organization and develop coaches, because the coaches work with the folks in the community, the residents, and are really engaging them on what it means for them to live a purposeful life. What do they want to do? How do they want to engage in that community? What are some of their goals, and how are they going to get that? And we do that through a couple of meaningful conversations with them.
So this is for us. So when you say develop coaches, you're talking about the institution and the residents, or what?
We're talking about developing coaches within the organization, and it's the coaches that have the conversation with the residents or the participants in the communities.
Okay.
And they really have a very meaningful conversation about how do they want to engage in the community, how do they want to engage in their life, if they can create a life goal that really is vibrant and purposeful. And at the same time, we're also collecting some information, as Neil said, about the assessments that give us some information about what the individual likes or how they're participating in the community around them, how they're engaging with that in their mental health and in their cognition, how they're physically getting through the everyday life, and then some of their actual health status. And that helps the coach to also help coach them in areas or strategies that they can achieve some of this purposeful goal.
So this is being piloted now in a couple of places?
There are two organizations, Richard, that are really fully in pilot mode. One is Orchard Cove up in Boston, part of the Hebrew Senior Life umbrella of organizations, and they've been doing it for 3 years now. And a second, Kendall at Hanover in Hanover, New Hampshire, part of the Kendall system,
right,
who's been doing it for about 2 years now, and we're about to embark on a major training, 2-day training session for all the Kendall and Hebrew Senior Life family of organizations,
wow,
in September to move them forward on this program.
So one pilot is 3 years old, one pilot is 2 years old, so you probably have some data.
We have some incredible data actually coming out of Orchard Cove around fitness, around people's perceptions of their life and how satisfied they are with their life, their sense of meaning and purpose, some great stuff. What's also taken some time, Richard, is to developing software to support the Vitalize 360 process for these organizations. So there's this process that we articulate that is probably too much detail for this, but to support that process is really a software system.
Mm-hmm.
And so the software system to us is really the most challenging aspect of developing this whole entire program.
The people that you're working with in the facilities in Hanover and Orchard, the median age, are these people in their 60s, 70s, 80s?
You ready for this? Orchard Cove's average age is right around 90, Richard.
Get down.
These are independent living residents. And Hanover's, my guess, would be between 85 and 90. Probably 85, closer to 85.
Okay, so this pops one of the myths already. You know, we're not talking about people 60 or 70. We're talking about people in their late 80s. So when some of the literature in this area is telling us these are becoming the frail elderly. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying by placing a system of fitness and wellness, you can change the perception and lifestyle of somebody who's 90 years old. Is that correct?
Can I say it? I'm going to say it a little bit differently. I'm going to adjust what
program.
You just said.
Say it any way you want. Say it any way you want.
By setting up a coaching relationship, we train coaches that are employees of the communities.
Correct, correct.
We train them to have conversations with individuals in which they help the individual. They literally facilitate the individual in developing a life goal. What do I want to do in the next 5 to 10 years of my life? What are the supporting goals and action steps? All that is put into software. It's captured.
Right.
And then what we're doing is we're saying we believe that when you have a purpose, when you're focused on something that's meaningful to you, health and wellness will also come along with it.
So I have to ask somebody, so somebody's 89 years old, okay? You're going to say, a coach sits down and says, what's your goals for the next 5 years of your life? You know, they may be, I just want to be here, you know, 5 years. But I guess that's a really important response. So I guess the coach says, well, we're going to make sure that we are going to devise a program to allow you to be here.
And I think you just hit that on the head, is that anybody's goal is a valid goal. In other words, if that's my goal, I really want to live a very healthy and engaged life. And if I'm 89 and that means into my 90s, then we think about what does that mean? Does that mean that you want to socialize and be a part of something? And if you have any challenges to be able to do that, how do we as a coach help you do that? Does that mean you might have some physical therapy that you need to have so that you can walk all the way down the halls and be in part of the engaging? Some of the goals that folks have had and what they've done are just, you know, they're kind of chilling and fabulous.
So, for example?
Getting into that one particular example, a young lady in her late 80s, 88, had said that she really wanted, she had just moved into the community, and she really wanted to figure out, how can I be a part of this? She hadn't been in a choral group since she was in her 20s. But she also had had a hip break.
Mm-hmm.
So we really sat down, and there was that conversation. Nobody else was in a choral group. We were able to look through some of the data and Orchard Cove in the community and find out how many other folks also had an interest in singing. And were able to reach out, create the choral group, get her involved. And in addition to that, she said, I need to have this fitness goal because I want to be able to walk into that room and stand for that entire choral group or the training, whatever they wanted to do.
So, and Alice, it's fascinating. My personal theology is, as I loosely call it, the theology of relationships. And it's based upon this idea that I'm hearing from the two of you, that the most important thing that we have, especially as we get older, are the power of the human relationships that we create. And, you know, it goes again to what we talked about in the first segment, a little bit about this desire not to be alone, mm-hmm. this sense of isolation. And from what I'm understanding, Vitalize 360 is a tool to break through that barrier of isolation, break through that barrier of a loneliness, and create a model or a vehicle to create relationships. So this woman in the choral festival, choral group, that relation of socialization, every piece of literature that I've seen in my research said the more social you are, the more relationship-oriented you are, the healthier you are, the longer-lived you are.
Mm-hmm.
So are you finding this in the
yes,
data?
Yes, we are. And Richard, give me another example of a goal.
Do.
A woman who had been writing in her 70s stopped writing for whatever reason. And then when she got into her late 80s, her life goal became, I want to get back to writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for her, the leap was, I haven't been doing it, but it's not gone. I've brought it back, and it's given me a reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah, we just actually mentioned that because I think it was last week, Clinton Mary, who are residents of one of the Kendall facilities, I think in New Hampshire, were on discussing this book that they wrote and edited on World War II reflections.
Right.
And it was just fascinating to hear their voice describing just the process of collecting these stories, both in their 90s. I would imagine this fits into this type of what you're trying to create. The fitness aspect of this, I imagine it, we have to change or it's not people running necessarily marathons, although somebody just did at 91 in San Diego yesterday or Sunday. But how do you tailor like the mobility, the fitness for people who have mobility issues and impairment issues and also cognitive issues, because that need still may be there to have a life goal and a life plan, even though my cognition may be failing. How do you deal with that?
It's really about the relationship between the coach and the resident, and really knowing that resident deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Because we prescribe in this process a couple of meetings, literally two meetings within the first 6 weeks. So within the 6 weeks, we have a meeting and then a second meeting. And there's things that are done. There's some exercises that are done, values, clarification stuff, like what's meaningful to me, what am I challenged by. And when you learn the challenges, Richard, and how someone's functioning in their day-to-day life, you can begin to say, this is real and this is not so realistic for you. But really, we are nudging people. That's the verb. The coaches are nudging people towards a better existence. And if that means only, let's say, two times a week in a 45-minute stretching class, and that's perfect for you, then that's where you'll go. That's where you'll fit. So it's really about knowing that person deeply.
So again, it comes back to this concept of relationships, really. I mean, and so you're in two facilities as a pilot. Have you noticed any cultural changes within the facilities as a result of this program?
Well, I'll tell you, they would say,
yeah.
Okay. We haven't been there and slept there and, you know, really eaten their food and decided what's happened here.
Right.
But they would say we've seen incredible changes here. We've seen an organization that before people weren't as satisfied with their life. And what we're seeing literally, because we have a survey that people fill out, and you're seeing this question answered pre and post their Vitality 360 work with a coach.
Right.
And, you know, literally Orchard Cove, the number of people who felt incredibly satisfied with their life was soared. I mean, we're talking in big numbers, and so we keep asking ourselves, is this an anomaly, or is this something that we will see in many communities that adopt this program? So that's one of our big questions.
So we're talking with Alice Moore, nurse, educator, and lead trainer at Kendall Outreach, and Neil Berrison, the national program manager of Vitalize 360. And we just want to pause for 1 second to just bring you sort of like a piece of news about a different type of event, a different type of card game that's going on Bucks County this month. And invite you to explore how to make end-of-life healthcare decisions in advance with family members through an innovative new game on Monday evening, June the 16th, which is coming up. This event at Chandler Hall in Newtown, Pennsylvania. Participants are going to play My Gift of Grace, a unique game that stimulates meaningful conversations about living and dying well. We actually had the creator of My Gift of Grace here on Boomer Generation Radio last month. Adult children are invited to attend with their parents. Dinner will be served, so join us. We are invited to join from 6 to 8 p.m. on Monday, June the 16th at Chandler Hall. The address of Chandler Hall is 99 Barclay Street in Newtown, Bucks County. If you're interested in this, please RSVP to Chandler Hall. The number there is 215-497-0905. That's 215-497-0905, or online to mygiftofgrace.com/Chandler Hall, as space is limited. Chandler Hall is a nonprofit Kendall community serving older adults in the Quaker tradition. And again, this is Monday, June the 16th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Chandler Hall, 99 Barclay Street in Newtown, Bucks County. And if you're interested in being involved with this really exciting innovative type of program, My Gift of Grace, RSVP to Chandler Hall, the number 215-497-0905. And again, online, respond to mygiftofgrace.com/Chandler Hall. It's just one word, Chandler Hall. And again, space is limited. It's a very, very interesting, I've done a couple of programs with these people, both here on Boomer Generation and once also in Cherry Hill, following up with Samaritan Hospice. It's a very, very interesting program. We urge your participation. It really is involved in these conversations about end-of-life conversations and how to get them started, something that's extremely, extremely important. So we're back with Alice Moore, nurse, educator, and lead trainer at Kendall Outreach, and Neil Berrison, national program manager for Vitalize 360. Neil, Alice, talk to me a little bit about, because you alluded to this in the work that you're doing and the data that you're producing from these two facilities, this sort of like juxtaposition interface of mental and physical health, and how this program is really seeking to bring this together.
When we look at, when Vitalize 360 looks at what we're kind of defining as successful aging, it's truly holistic. It's in all of those areas, the social and community area, the cognition and mental health, the physical area. And what's really been fabulous is when you have those meaningful conversations with individuals, and then you have this life really create that relationship with the coach, we can see through the data that we collect in the assessment whether or not we are improving some of that mental health, whether we're improving some of that loneliness, whether we're improving some of the engagement, not only on an individual basis, but in a community basis. And then as we gather more communities, as Neil was saying, we'll be able to look to see, are all of those communities actually moving towards a healthier lifestyle? Is there less loneliness in those communities? Is there more participation? Is there more physical fitness? And we can then look at how does that compare, because we have some of the statistical data. Are people who might have had some cognitive or mental health issues maintaining and not declining if they have greater participation? So we'll be able to look at some of those data points and answer some of those questions.
So the project, the program, Vitalize 360, you're hoping to expand this, right, into other facilities around the country?
Absolutely.
And through the Kendall system?
Absolutely. We're going to be doing it with all the Kendalls. Many of them are doing it now, but we have the software now. We'll have it for the September training.
Right.
So we're really pushing them out now with the software that's supporting their Vitalize 360 processes.
So
in other words, let me back up a second.
Ahead.
Our pilot, I mean, it's happening in many of the Kendall and Hebrew Senior Life communities,
right,
but they haven't had the software to support it. It's been sort of paper and pencil business. Now in September with the training, this formal two-day training, we'll be able to put it all together so it's one program and the software will match it. So after that, we intend to take this out to the greater world, aging services around the country, and say, you know, is this a program that you'd find interesting, and do you think that your organization would be able to promote successful aging in bigger and better ways?
And from the experience in the two pilots, okay, how long, because we're really talking about culture change, aren't we? I mean, we are not only an individual, but it's fascinating, which is why I asked the question before. You're really also talking about institutional culture change. So from your observation, how long does this culture change take to really?
Every organization is different, Richard.
Yeah,
we'll be doing some readiness work with every organization before we let them come into the program. So what we're really saying is there's some consultancy there around how do you, as an organization, get ready to do the work.
So there's sort of like homework.
Yeah,
before they're accepted into the program.
And it's often a group of staff, a support team of staff. So it could be physical therapists and occupational therapists and the coach and managers and wellness people and, you know, lifestyle people. So it's all those people, Richard, that are coming together to do that work.
I was going to say, I've had the great pleasure and gift of working with a lot of coaches over the phone. And I think one of the best comments was a coach said, I had to do this for my job, but then I found out that it engaged my heart. Because this creates, as you said very clearly earlier, that fabulous relationship between coach and the residents. And they understand each other at a very different level and are really kind of rooting for their success, whatever it is that they decided to become engaged in. And what we're hearing from the communities is that, as Neil said, you nudge and you get about 10%, but when you get to about 25% of the residents in your community are really having great conversations and have thought about and started doing something, that the culture of the organization begins to change. There's a real tipping point, and that was proven really with Orchard Cove. You said their average age is 90. They have an 80 to an 85% participation in Vitalize 360.
Wow.
Richard,
they have
yep.
moved their organization, and you sense that when you walk in the door. They're walking around, they're helping each other, they're peeking in the doors to see what's going on in the conference rooms and in the fitness center. They are truly engaged in their community.
And Richard, they're now taking it to their staff. They're having Vitalize 360 conversations with their staff.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Those are 30s and 20s and 40s and 50-year-olds.
I can see you on late-night TV and with this 3-CD, you know, call now.
As long as we can bring you with us.
Sure. I mean, sure. And then there's more. Call now and we'll throw in something else. I don't know. But I have to ask you, when you presented this initially several years ago, you must have gotten some... negative, sort of like, well, this will never work. Or did you get any type of, you know, pushback from staff before this was really adopted?
Well, I guess, is your question at Orchard Cove, when they started going down this road, did they get pushback from anyone? Is that what you're saying?
Either Orchard Cove or Hanover.
I'm not aware of pushback. I mean, if I were to present this idea to someone outside of the Kendall Hebrew Senior Life family of organizations, their first response might be, well, how much time is it going to take for us to do this?
And how much does it cost?
Exactly. And so you're always going to come up against that. And so if we can say the return on investment, obviously, is X, people might turn around and say, oh my God, then I'm worthy of the investment.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think some of the best approach, and even the folks at Orchard Cove have said that sometimes this is really grown organically. Very few residents will turn down a conversation with one of the staff that they like.
Right.
Can I just have a conversation with
relationships.
You? Create that relationship. And it may not be the first conversation. It may not be the second conversation. But it may be the third conversation where you begin to say, what's really important to you and what would you like to do? What would give you purpose? And they engage. And it's when you do kind of one thing at a time, it may not be a big splash, but they really be able to move and engage. And that's how Orchard Cove was successful in gaining such a large percentage of their population.
So you've had now these two pilots, several years worth of data. Before we start running out of time, could you just, is it possible, what, on the basis of the residents, what are they telling you that is most important, these people? When they're sitting down with those coaches and it's honesty time, what do they say? What are the three things that you're finding that are the most important in these people's lives?
I would say probably the biggest, most important that comes up most frequently is family. In other words, I want to continue to participate with my family. I want to see my family. I want to go to the nephew's graduation. I want to go to the wedding. I really want to be engaged with family, friends, and community. And then something that was usually the third one is something that was wholly theirs. So we've had folks, as Neil had said before, they went back to writing, or they went to painting, or they went to singing. And those are ageless things mm-hmm. that are important to all of us. But they have the pleasure and the gift of having a coach to help them walk and support them in that journey.
You need the coach?
Most of us need a coach. If we think back to all of the goals that we've made on January 1st on a New Year's resolution, if we had someone to help us nudge, but those were kind of step-by-step goals. If we had somebody to really say, what is it that you wanted to do? How can we help you get there? Most of us would take somebody up on that opportunity.
There's also a feedback loop here. In other words, the coach is checking in at 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. Okay. So, and they're checking in and they're saying, how's it going? Like, what's working and what's not? And they might revise the goals at that point if someone's really having a hard time. Right? Or not reaching their goals or sort of seems to be a bit passive. So that whole check-in system is really important to the success of the program.
People ever come up to the coaches and say, I want to do this so I can just stay alive. I'm just so scared of dying. I don't want to. And I see this as a vehicle.
I don't know if I can say yes to that because I'm not in those coaching conversations, yeah. Richard. I haven't heard that. But I think if you had to summarize it, it would be quality of life and successful aging is what people want.
Right. It's amazing that the health and wellness aspect really, again, returns to this fundamental basic love of life and holding on to life. And if this is a tool that allows me to engage that, I'm willing to do that. Because it means so much to me, whether it's family and anything else. So Alice and Neil, I want to thank you very much. A reminder to our audience that this portion of Boomer Generation Radio has been brought to you by Kendall, a system of not-for-profit communities and services that advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential. Together, we are transforming the experience of aging. To learn more about Kendall, that's K-E-N-D-A-L. We invite you to visit kendall.org. or call toll-free at 888-759-0128. Alice Moore and Neil Burrison, we're going to thank you very much for joining us here on Boomer Generation. Good luck with this program. It's a great program. So thank you for joining us. To all of you, have a great week. Thank you, Tony. We'll see you next week on Boomer Generation Radio.